Hey, and welcome back to Swipe Right, Start Over, Episode 1. Last time that was a little intro where we hit on leaving a significant relationship and how we got here. Today I'm going to try to get into detail on what happened and why we're here. Wow, why we are here. So I took some notes just to help me stay on track. It's hard for me to read them and also stay focused with speaking, so I don't know how it's going to go, but let's see here. So basically, let's just get straight into it, right? So 2019, like I said, I connected with a middle school friend. I believe it started as a casual conversation on Facebook. He said hello. We talked for hours. We hit it off. Found out I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time, and he was in Houston, which is basically a flight away. And you guys already know I'll get on a flight in a minute. So I believe it was like Father's Day weekend 2019. I flew out to Houston. We hung out the entire weekend. We hit it off really good. Now, I was not necessarily physically attracted to him, but he was a complete gentleman. He was charming and, you know, it was just good vibes. And I think it was also just fresh, you know. So we spent the entire weekend. When I got back to Tulsa, we would talk day and night. I think at some point in the conversation, I don't know if this was before I flew to Houston or after, but I believe I mentioned I was just waiting on my next marriage. And of course, this guy was looking to get into something serious, so he went and got a ring. And my next visit to Houston, I got off the plane. He was down on one knee in the airport and proposed. So, of course, your girl said yes, which was fine. Like I said, the marriage was seemingly cool for 4 years until it wasn't. But as I look back at things, I feel like there was like red lights flashing in my face, and I kind of totally ignored it, right? So this is something that I feel like I missed, and I don't want to miss it telling you here on this podcast. So he was fresh out of prison, and when I say fresh, I mean like 10 days out. Now, I knew that he had dead time in prison, but I don't believe I necessarily understood that he was just out of prison. So essentially, the entire time we were married, he was kind of like institutionalized and also learning to become a civilian, which I feel like, in my opinion, he made great progress. You know, he was doing his thing. However, some things that he was not necessarily into because he couldn't, because of parole reasons, he jumped into. That thing that I'm talking about is marijuana. So the first 2 years, he was not smoking marijuana. Year two, probably three, he started to smoke marijuana. And this is when I started to see maybe change in personality, and also the marriage started to take a change too. Now, I don't believe he misled me about his time being out of prison. I do believe I was misled about his usage of marijuana. And I don't have any judgment of anyone who smokes marijuana, you know. The reason why I say I think he misled me on that is because my ex previously, he would smoke marijuana, and then this guy would constantly throw shade about, oh, I know you're happy you don't have to date anyone that smokes weed. So naturally, I'm like, oh, he don't smoke weed. But year two, he was smoking weed. So it wasn't that he did not smoke weed. It was he could not smoke weed. And in my opinion, smoking weed for him didn't do him any justice. It went bad. I'm talking about totally bad. So things started to change. Specifically, there was maybe year three. We flew out to LA for his birthday. I believe it was like Universal Studios. Of course, we're at the park with his people. You know, we only hung around his people because hanging around my people was just too much for him. I think we attended like one funeral for my uncle, and I think he judged that because my family is probably considered middle class and they're extra. So I think he felt a way about that. I'm not sure. But anyways, it was his friend, the wife, his friend's wife, his sister and cousin. And we're in the park. So finally, I decided to do a bathroom break. And when I left, came back from that bathroom break, his sister made a comment like, dang, how long was you in the bathroom? I didn't say anything because me and her, we was not the best of friends anyway. But he co-signed it. So for me, because I had already been in the park kind of, you know, making sure people was good, you know, people was walking off doing all kind of things. I don't think people was checking for what they were doing because we're all adults here. So why are you checking for my bathroom break? But anyway, so I didn't say anything to him, but I decided to go take a break from the group. So they went one way and I went another way. And then he called me on a phone upset. Like, I guess I'm ruining his birthday or whatever the case may be. But anyways, we had a whole blow up about that. And I'm quite sure in that blow up, my ring came off. We were definitely yelling at each other. I think he mentioned something about not being transparent about fertility and my fertility or whatever the case may be. And from that point, I think I knew that the marriage was done. And we were not going to climb out of it. I had developed like major anxiety. And then it was just bad. You know, the arguments began to progress. It was about every little thing. You know, we began to live separate lives. And there was just no point in keeping going, you know. So year four, I started to plan my exit. And it was around the time, basically for the same, I call it an anniversary from the blow up at Universal Studios. His birthday came around again. And with the planning, it was like he didn't want me to plan his birthday, which is fine. But even though I was the planner, he wanted to plan to do something with somebody else. But it wasn't including me, so he wanted to include me last minute. And I'm like, no, I'm not flying out there because I wasn't included in those plans. You already had those plans with those friends, you know? But anyways, from that point on, year four, I began to plan my exit. And then that's when I left. Something that's very interesting is I always say the marriage was going well, but when I sit and think about it, it was not necessarily going well. There was some signs, subtle and not subtle, that I totally ignored. You know, one, someone just being out of prison, you know, and having to relearn life. I don't know if I would ever do that again. Two, someone who was kind of like pressing the issue on being married and moving. Like, I had to move from Tulsa to Houston because long distance, just he didn't believe in that. Like someone who's kind of like, I guess, love bombing, you know, all of those signs that I ignored, but they seem like, oh, this guy was really into me. But it was kind of like a red flag-ish and I kind of like totally ignored it. My question to you all is, how long do you stay in something that is no longer fulfilling or where you have those signs that you should leave? How long do you stay in it and why do you stay in it? For me, I know I stayed in it. It was just a commitment thing. You know, you want it to work out. And a lot of times I think we believe because there's no infidelity, then the marriage is good. But if there's a lot of emotional abuse, you are now having anxiety issues, you know, arguments, you know, no support, loss of self. Those are all signs that warrant a divorce, especially if no help is, you know, you're not seeking out help together. And if you guys are, again, are not working together, but you're working against each other, that is a problem, you know. A lot of times people saying things like, I know people that stay in marriages where people are cheating. Now, I don't know. I could never wrap my head around why they stay where you could just go get somebody who's loyal. But that's them. But I do have questions as to why do people stay in situations where the person is probably hurting you or you're no longer fulfilled. You're being cheated on. why do you stay so long instead of just leaving? And I know everyone has their own reasons why they stay. I think I stayed because I was naive, you know? A lot of the signs that I had in front of me, I think I was naive about it. I think I would just say, oh, he's a Grinch. He doesn't like nothing. Oh, he's in a mood. But no, he was kind of almost emotionally abusive, you know? But yeah, so I don't know how we're going to do this. Maybe I could take some calls or questions where we dive into why do people stay, and when you did finally leave, how was navigating the situations? For me, I'm navigating quite well. You know, I think I know how to move on because I feel like relationships are a business anyway, you know? So if the business is failing, you need to exit. And that was my whole thing. We're failing, you know? And I don't know that we could rebuild, you know? Am I even willing to rebuild? I think towards the end, he had probably called me out of my name or something like that. And then at that point, it was like a no, you know? I have boundaries, you know? Certain things I just don't put up with. I don't put up any kind of roughness, any type of name calling, any sign that lets me know that you're no longer a safe person. I don't put up with it. I immediately have to close it out. And that's what I did. So, the signs, it is time to go. How long do you stay and why do you stay?